you have to have some like serious cojones. You have, you know, I mean, you're like you said, you're standing there getting pelted with a ball, and little old seventh grade me was just like, oh yeah, that would be fun. I don't know why, but to me, I thought that would be something I would have a ball doing.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the lacrosse goalie. And on this show, it's my job to go out there, track down the best goalies in our sport, interview them, and find out what makes them so great. What are the mindsets that they have? What are the stories that they can tell us? What are the drills that they do, the techniques that they use that make them so great at this beautiful position? My guest on the show this week was an All-American 2022 honorable mention All-American. It's Haley Hunt out of Lehigh. She led all Division I lady goaltenders in save percentage this year with an impressive 54%, which is very impressive on the women's side. That was number one, where in the women's game, the save percentages tend to be a little bit lower compared to the men's game just because the shots are so gosh darn close. 216 saves led all of the ladies as well. She started her collegiate career at Stony Brook, and we talk about that. We talk about her decision to transfer to Lehigh. Awesome, awesome young lady. I know you're going to enjoy this one, so please enjoy this conversation with Lehigh goalie Haley Hunt. Last week, we wrapped up the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 7, and if you missed it, I gotta say this, it was electrifying. 5 days of nonstop content about every corner of the lacrosse goalie universe. We covered things like the proper save techniques for more consistency, building that bulletproof mindset and that mental game, simple hacks to win games, recruiting tips to get into a great college. We talked about school and life balance. We talked about how to communicate with your defenders. We talked about awesome tips and drills to help you clear the ball, and drills. We covered so many drills and really everything in between. A lot of lacrosse goalie moms and dads said this. This was from Heather Hagen. She said, my 2027 son, Jace, is participating in the summit, and wow, just wow. The amount of info slash knowledge him and I have gained is incredible. Every goalie should go through this. 100% agree, Heather and Jace. That's exactly why I brought 20 of the best goalie coaches in the world together for this amazing event. If you missed out on it, you can still grab the VIP pass. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. That gives you lifetime access to all of the videos. You've got a slim window of opportunity to grab that VIP pass. It's going to go up in price soon. Here's what one goalie mom told me over the weekend. She said, my daughter, 2025, was away at camp during the summit, so I purchased the VIP pass, and she's watching the sessions now that she's back in town. Just wanted to let you know how incredibly helpful all these sessions have been to me as a parent, and I know they will be even more valuable to her in the goal. She's starting with the summer tournament prep video, getting ready for her tourney this weekend in Chattanooga. That was Tim Cassie. He did a tips for summer tournaments for goalies and parents. Amazing session. You can download all those videos if you get the VIP pass. Watch them on the car. Watch them on the plane ride. It's awesome stuff. Once again, grab that VIP pass, available for a limited time. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. I guarantee you the best value you're going to get for lacrosse goalie coaching. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. Awesome. Pleasure to welcome to the show. It's Haley Hunt, just recently awarded All-American status for 2022. Haley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'd love to hear where it all started. You remember the first time you jumped into goal?
Yeah, funny story. So I was actually playing softball at the time. I was in seventh grade, And the softball coach had a sister that was the lacrosse coach. And right before the season, the lacrosse coach said, "Hey, we need a goalie. I know you've never played, but we think you'd be perfect for the position." And so the softball coach was pretty mad, and they had like a little sister debate. But I ended up hopping in the goal seventh grade and just fell in love with the sport. Never heard of it before I went to this, till I went to Penn Charter. And then I got the opportunity, and like since then, it just became everything.
Now, why did they think you would be a perfect fit for it?
I honestly have no idea. It was kind of random. A couple of my friends played lacrosse, and I was like, "Oh, that always looks so cool." But I just felt weird starting so late, you know, in lacrosse terms. Everyone starts in like second grade and stuff like that. I just was like, I played baseball growing up, so softball was like where it was at. And then I just went for it. I was like, you know what? I'm never going to get an opportunity to try something else different. So I just tried it, and the rest is history pretty much.
Yeah. I think that in my mind, like that's what they tell the kids when they want them to play goalie, because it's tough. It's tough to get the kids to agree, like, to, "Hey, stand here. You're going to get shots fired at you. You're going to have to go through all these mental battles." So maybe they just tell you, "Hey, you got what it takes."
I think they definitely just tell you that, because lacrosse goalie and positioning in general is just, you have to have some like serious cojones. You have, you know, I mean, you're like you said, you're standing there getting pelted with the ball, and little old seventh grade me was just like, "Oh yeah, that would be fun." I don't know why, but to me, I thought that would be something I would have a ball doing.
Interesting. So were you afraid of the ball, or you were just thinking like, "Oh, this is great. Like I love to attack the shots. I don't have that fear."
Well, in the beginning, I definitely had like a mild, like, "Ow, this hurts when you get hit." But you know, they say like lacrosse goalies, they might have a few screws loose. Definitely riding the crazy train a little bit, but I don't know. I just never really, like, the reward was greater than the risk for me. You know, growing up, it was like, yeah, this may hurt for a couple seconds, but that after feeling of like getting so hyped with the team is just like, that's so much of a reward that I'm willing to risk a little bit for that payoff.
That's a cool way to phrase it. I've never heard that. The reward was bigger than the risk. And it's something that I don't see on some youth teams, is like, they don't give the goalie that reward, right? They don't get hyped when he makes a save, or they don't go crazy, you know, or they don't go respect the goalie and give him a hug after the game. That is what we're going for, right? Because we are putting ourselves at risk, and you've got to do that. You've got to have that in your team culture. And it sounds like on your youth teams, maybe you had that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important. I mean, even now in college, you know, I've never seen a team in general my whole life until I got to Lehigh be so excited for when a goalie does something good, you know. And I think that just came from me instilling like the hype mentality back there in between the pipes. You know, I'm always so excited. I'm always screaming. I'm always yelling. I mean, you watch film of me, I'm throwing fist bumps and like all this stuff, just getting everyone so amped. So when I produce on my side, I think that they feel like that needs to be reciprocated, because, you know, like that hype is just keeps the team going. So I think I've just like every team I played on, I've been trying to like instill like mentality and energy. It's all contagious and throughout the game. And it definitely can change the outcome for a lot of teams.
For sure. 100%. I love that you're a fiery goalie with energy. I love goalies like that. Those are my favorite. And a lot of, you know, a lot of defenders, both men's and women's, like, they love playing for goalies like that, right? Because why not? Like you said, it's contagious, and you go out there and you have fun, and like, you know, like, you're going to make saves, and you're going to be a leader of that team. So that's awesome. Now, have you always been like that? Or is that something that you sort of built into your game, into your personality?
I've pretty much always been like that. So I actually only played 1 year of middle school lacrosse. In my eighth grade year, I actually played up for the high school team. So it felt like I had to prove myself a little bit, just, you know, being the youngest person out there. It was always like, you know, you're getting a starting spot over someone 3 years older than you. You gotta put like pedal to the metal. So that hype mentality has always been there. You know, I felt like if I can get everyone on the same page as me, we can produce something that we otherwise couldn't if everybody wasn't like so contagiously happy. And especially throughout my high school career, I've played with a bunch of my best friends, you know, for 4 years. So we were always like, let's go get it. And we were always very hyper. And then when I got to college, it was just like, something new came out of me, and it was I was just always so excited to be out on the field, and the energy from the beginning of the game was just like, if someone else saw me, they probably think I was like a little bit crazy, but you know, I'm having fun out there, and everybody else is having fun with me, because you know, I'm radiating that positiveness and that positivity, and I'm just like so excited, and I think that is like a huge part of lacrosse, honestly.
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. I feel like a lot of times when goalies go through slumps, a lot of the reason is because they're just not having fun anymore. And it could be for a lot of different reasons, right? Like, you know, they're worried about getting into college, or they're worried that, like, I don't know, someone's watching on the sideline, or they're worried about this, or they're worried about that. And it's like, hey, forget all that, right? Let's have fun. Like, let's just relax, have fun, play lacrosse. And guess what? You end up playing a lot better.
Totally.
Yeah. So you're growing up in the Philadelphia area. Like, how did you, you know, started at as a seventh grader, as a goalie, like, how did you go about learning how to make saves? Were there camps? Did you have some good coaches along the way, some mentors?
So the fact that, so lacrosse in general in Philadelphia is not very big at all. It was the reason that I got into it was because I went to a private school, and the private school league in the PA area is very, very competitive. And so when I got into it, Colleen McGarity, my high school coach, basically told me, like, you know, like, we got to get you to like a good club and all that stuff. And so I ended up joining her club after I actually played for Steps. But that summer, after seventh grade, I went to a goalie camp in Virginia, and goalie school, I think it was called the goalie school. Mm-hmm. I went there. And then I did a bunch of camps, and I worked with my middle school coach's son, who actually played for Cabrini. He was a goalie there. And so it was just like that whole summer I spent learning everything about lacrosse I possibly could, everything about being a goalie I possibly could. And then that next year in eighth grade, I actually played up for the high school. So it totally worked, whatever I did that summer. Just, you know, 100% lacrosse, 100% of the time was – that was my mentality that summer, just to try and, you know, when I get myself into something, I want to be the best. And that was that summer was like, this is what you're going to do. And next year you're going to prove that you deserve to be here.
Yeah. I love that mentality. And to that point, you know, sometimes when you have a kid that just has all this raw athleticism, like if you put a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of structure into it, like you can just see him take off, you know, you know, sometimes they just rely on like pure, like, I'm gonna see the ball, I'm just going to catch it. But when you start talking about, all right, here's the stance, here's the positioning, here's how you actually make a save, and then you combine those, like, they just can explode.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. So did you ever, you know, sometimes when kids play up, right, they have this like mental challenge, right? Like they get scared, like, you know, these guys are so good. Like, what do I do? Did you ever go through any of those mental blocks?
To say I went through none would be like a lie, but like I would definitely say like barely any. Like, you know, I felt like I had worked to be where I was, and that I just wanted to go out there and show them why I was there. It was never like, oh, I'm scared. It was more so like, I have to prove myself that I deserve to be here, because I know I personally do. And all the people who may not think that a person who started playing lacrosse a year ago deserves to be on the high school varsity team, I had to prove to them that that might not be the case, that, you know, I may actually deserve to be there. And totally, I think I proved that, you know, that eighth grade year I played, one of my close friends also played up for the high school varsity team as well with me in eighth grade. So just having that other person there, knowing that we're going through the same stuff, I definitely felt like more comfortable and at home. And just the whole team mentality was like, everybody wants to win. And so whoever's going to produce on the field deserves to be out there. So that it was never really like, I'm scared or I'm nervous or they shoot harder than they did last year or any of that. It was just like, stop the ball and like show them why you're here, essentially.
Yeah. I love that. A lot of elite athletes, when you like read their story, like somewhere along the way, they have this like chip on their shoulder, or they're trying to like prove something. It's really motivating. Like, you know, whether it's Jordan getting cut from his high school team or all these different, you know, stories like that. And it sounds like for you, it's like, hey, I'm going to work my butt off to prove that I can be here. I might be, you know, an eighth grader playing on the varsity team, but I'm going to show them that I belong. And I think that's a great mentality for all the youth goalies to embody.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What would you say is your favorite part about being the lacrosse goalie?
I think the goalie has the most swag on the team, you know. Before every game, I throw on some dope eye black, you know. I'm the only one who gets to wear shorts and like look like cool and all this stuff. I think being a goalie is all about, like, you know, just like feeling yourself, you know, knowing that you're the one who, like, when it comes down to it, you can be a game changer. You know, I think that I love pressure, you know. As a goalie, you have to love pressure because the amount of times you face it throughout a game is enormous. And so I think the biggest part, aside from, you know, being like swaggy on the team, is definitely like, you gotta love and you gotta lean into that pressure of, you can be a difference maker. And when you are, it's like, it's amazing, you know?
I love that. Yes. Bring the swag, baby. Bring the swag. I'm looking at a picture of you right now in goal, Lehigh. You got the swag. You got the swag. You got the eye black kind of fully covered, or maybe describe how you do the eye black.
So, in our end of season games, more so, I did diamonds in my eyes, covered the entire eye. And then on one side, I did a line straight through. So it was like double diamonds with the line. And, you know, I was feeling it. I was hot when I was wearing that, so I didn't change it up. And then I changed it up right before the end of the season to try and spark some new superstition, you know, just trying to get some new gear, some new swag, and see if it could change the way I was playing, you know. Goalies are superstitious, you know. When you play bad, you got to change something to play better the next game.
I know. Well, in this pic I'm looking at too, you got the sweats tucked into the socks, swaggy look, extra swaggy right there.
That was actually one of two games the entire season that I played in sweatpants. I actually do not like playing in sweatpants. The only time I'll ever play is if it's like 30 degrees or below.
Right.
I love the shorts look. I'm big legging shorts goalie. Yeah. Definitely. I only wore sweatpants twice this season, and I was pretty upset that I had to. I love the shorts. I feel so much more like active and able to get around in them.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. What do you do? You got a little pregame routine that you go into to kind of get yourself in the right headspace, or what do you do kind of going into a game?
So going into a game, you know, throughout the day, depending if I have classes or not, I'll always like get a Red Bull at the beginning of the day, just a sugar-free Red Bull. Probably the worst thing I could possibly do, but it's part of the routine. And I'll drink that about like an hour before we're supposed to be getting dressed. And then when we get to the locker room, I always play two songs I must play in my headphones before actually going into the game. And then I do my eye black, I get all dressed. And then before the game, I have like a really long stretch routine I actually do, just, you know, not dynamic stretching, like when you go, when you jog and do all that stuff, just like trying to like loosen my hips, you know. When goalies make those split saves, that's kind of hard to do if you're not flexible. So I have a big stretch routine. And then right before the game, I do my, my like pipe thing, you know, just getting myself set in the goal before play actually starts. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Love it. And so kind of going back to your high school experience, you know, like at what point did you start to realize, hey, I could probably play, you know, lacrosse at the Division I level? Was that always a dream of yours? And actually before going to Lehigh, you ended up going to Stony Brook. Yeah. And I'm curious so, about the story of how you ended up there.
I was at Stony Brook for a year and a half. So my recruiting and commitment process was pretty like quick before the rule change. So the timeline was about 3 years. I started playing in seventh grade. I played up in eighth grade, and then January 27th, my freshman year of high school, I committed to Stony Brook. So that summer, eighth grade year, it was all about, you know, this is the year where you're going to get seen by all the college coaches, you know, like you're going to go to these club tournaments and you're going to go play in the President's Cup and all this stuff. And this is where you need to play your best, because this is where everyone's going to see you. And so after, like, towards the end of like my eighth grade summer, I got a lot of coaches reaching out to me. And so in the fall of my freshman year of high school, I went on a bunch of visits, missed a lot of school that fall, just seeing all these different places and seeing what my best option was. And then actually January 27th, my freshman year of high school, I committed to Stony Brook. So it was a really quick turnaround, and it was kind of unexpected because I always thought, you know, I'd go to college for basketball, or maybe I'd go for water polo if that panned out. But lacrosse kind of came out of the woodwork, and it happened pretty quick.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm glad they changed the rule, because that's pretty young to be making that kind of decision. And I'm sure you kind of feel the same. A lot of goalies I talk to do feel the same about that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was 14, 15. I was 15.
Yeah.
When I had a decision, and now I'm 20. It was like, when I was 19, I was like, I'm maybe rush this a little bit. And then now I'm here where I'm supposed to be. So
yeah,
everything worked out.
Yeah. Is that what went into the decision to transfer, or were there some other things going on for you?
So I decided to transfer. I think I told Coach Polina in October, maybe. Mm-hmm. It was just, I was really homesick being up on Long Island. You know, it was about 4.5 hours from home. I never got to see my people. They couldn't make a lot of games. Mm. You know, when you go to school at Stony Brook, everyone on the team is from Long Island. There's like three kids that aren't from Long Island. So it's very, very tight knit. You know, everyone mm-hmm. goes home on the weekends. So when you like constantly see everybody going home on the weekends and stuff, and you're just stuck in the dorm by yourself, it gets pretty, you know, like dark in there. You know, you're just like, dang, like I wish I could go see my fam and all this stuff. Sure. So definitely missed home quite a bit being there. And at Lehigh, my mom's made every single game this season. So, you know, that difference, that's a big difference for me for sure.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. That's so awesome that your parents can come and see. How is she on the sideline, by the way? Is she one of those goalie moms that really freaks out, or she stayed pretty cool?
So she will say nothing the entire game. She won't say a singular word. She'll sit there and she'll do like Hail Marys and like say prayers, just like hoping that I perform well. Because, you know, being the goalie parent, if the goalie's doing awesome, you're praised. If the goalie's doing bad, they're like, you know. So it's like she'll never say anything, but she'll just hope and pray that I'm doing the best I can do. But other than that, you know, she's not like wild, just yelling and all that. I don't think I've heard her speak once during one of my games. She just gets really nervous for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel bad for her sometimes. I keep her on the edge of her seat for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the goalie position in its nature keeps the moms and dads on the edge of their seat. And it's tough. It's a tough role because you have no control, you know, and you're just watching your kid have a great game, ideally. Or sometimes, hey, let's be honest, sometimes we have really bad days. Yeah. I've had a real bad day. I'm sure you've gone through it as well. Which kind of leads me to my next question is, when you do go through, you know, those, that bad day or that stretch of bad days, you know, how do you get out of that, Haley?
So I had one game this year where I played, in my own opinion, I played horribly. I think I ended up like a 0.25 save percentage. I got pulled after the first half, and I was just like, it was a rude awakening for me. You know, I've never been pulled from a game before, and I knew I was playing bad, and then I let it get into my head. You know, I started being real mental with myself instead of just trying to hype myself up to make the next save. And once I got down that trajectory, it was just horrible for that whole game. And so after that, it was like a wake up call for me. It was like, you know, you're playing well, you're in a new space, and then you can't mess that up. You know, once you're in a groove, you got to try and stick in that groove. And, you know, every goalie's going to have a bad day, but coming back from that, it just became much more mental focus and practice and every little aspect of lacrosse that I could possibly focus on. It was much more mentally challenging for myself. You know, I was trying to get myself to be that in that mode where, you know, if a ball is coming in front of my face, I'm going to get it because I need to see it. And, you know, I just got in my head and tried to convince myself that everyone has bad days, but you're able, no matter how much people say you aren't, you're able to control those bad days, you know, by seeing the ball. And some days are definitely harder than others. But once I told myself I told myself that, you know, you're allowed to have one off. You can have one off game, but you already had your off game. Once I knew that that was my off game, like I just put it all aside and just tried my best, honestly, just told myself like, if you don't make it mental, you know, in the game, if you're performing poorly and you don't make it mental, you can bounce back from that. It's when you start getting on yourself and thinking that you're horrible and whatnot, that makes it even worse. So that positive outlook and that hype and that energy and everything just pushed me through all the other games, you know. In that game, I didn't say anything to the team, you know. I was dead. I was just like, I was playing bad, and so I let that get like into everybody's performance. And instead, if I started performing bad, I would just get hype, you know, be everyone's hype man, and then and then I myself would see myself improving throughout the games.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I love how, you know, you said there, you're kind of like giving yourself permission to have a bad game. Right. Cause I think like a lot of goalies, you know, don't do that. Right. And then they have a bad game and then they start like freaking out. Like, I'm not a good goalie, or like, I'm not seeing the ball. And it's just going to be days for whatever reason, you know, whatever reason. We could go on and on about the different reasons why you're not seeing it, but just, there's going to be a days where you're not picking it up, and that's fine. Right. That's fine. And like you said, you know, if you shut down and get all negative, then that hurts the team. So why not be positive and just kind of be yourself if that's who you are, which I love quite a bit. Well, awesome. And then I was going to ask, so you played, you know, in high school, you played water polo and basketball and maybe not softball, but you did that before. Do you feel like there's elements of those sports that you kind of translate over into your goalie game, or something that you worked there comes over?
Yeah, definitely. So when I started water polo, I drew a lot from basketball to become good at water polo. And then when I started lacrosse, I drew a lot from water polo to become good at lacrosse. So water polo is interesting because the position I played, my whole reason for playing that position was to score the ball. You know, I would shoot the ball as hard as you can, score the ball. And then I go to lacrosse where I'm like, save the ball. Like, you want to stop it now. So just learning, you know, as a shooter, I learned goalies' tendencies in water polo and how they reacted to certain different, like different things, and how, like, if they saw a ball some way, like this shot wouldn't go in. So being able to switch that and see from the other perspective of, oh, like, if you can read a shooter, you can react better and whatnot. Just taking, like, basically doing a 180 and saying, okay, I did this now. How could I have stopped this if I was the goalie for here, for per se? So just doing that, and then definitely clearing. So in water polo, I threw the ball pretty hard. So being able to clear really far in lacrosse made my job so much easier. You know, outlets create offense. So being able to just throw it far down the field from having that strong shot in water polo definitely helped me.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same muscles, right? And even like, even, you know, when water polo players are like faking, it's kind of like cradling with a stick in a way, right? Because you're just kind of like doing that kind of motion right there. So that, yeah, that is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's really similar.
Yeah. And I love that point too. I've heard a lot of goalies on this show talk about like, they'll just go out and shoot, right? Themselves, right? Just to kind of get, you know, I don't know, a better understanding of what shooters are doing, or what it feels like, or kind of how your body is when you're going to go low, or when you're going to go high, when you're going to pull it to the far post or shoot near post. So yeah, just understanding what shooters are trying to do, I think helps your goalie game a ton.
Yeah, if you can read what a shooter's doing before they even do it, or before the ball comes out of their stick, it gives you like a little advantage. And then seeing the ball obviously is how you make the save. But if you can understand what they're doing and then react to that, it also gives you like such an advantage.
Yeah, love it. Love it. How do you describe your style of goalie play? And when you got to Lehigh, or maybe even Stony Brook, you know, coming out of high school, you know, did your goalie game change at all?
My goalie game changed from Stony Brook to Lehigh, 100%. I would describe the way I play, very relaxed and out of the ordinary. I play more so like a guy, you know. Girl goalies are taught a lot of things that guy goalies are not taught. And I think that is extremely bad. You know, if girl goalies were taught from the beginning, the same way that guy goalies were taught, I think you would see the amount of girl goalie performances in the collegiate level soar, be so much higher.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of aspects that men's goalies have that women's goalies just don't even know exist. You know, a lot of women's goalies, you'll see them play bounce shots. The way they play bounce shots is they'll cover the ball. They'll meet it and then they'll cover on top of it. Whereas you see a lot of guy goalies basically scoop through the ball and they're ready to clear. I'm on low shots. And that was a big difference for me going from high school to college. I always covered the ball. Then in college, I realized if I could just wait for the bounce shot to bounce and then react and catch it in my stick instead of covering it and then having to put it back in my stick to clear it, my outlet game is going to be so much stronger because I'm going to be so much quicker getting the ball from the ground to here instead of having, you know, to pick it up off the ground off a rebound possibly. And I can control my rebounds if I control the ball more on low shots. And girl goalies are taught that they can only step diagonally to the ball instead of laterally. Men's goalies are taught step laterally because they're longer and they're taller and stuff like that. And I'd say more often than not, I step laterally to the ball. It gives me more time to react. And there's a lot of tendencies that guy goalies are taught that help them improve their game that I think a lot of girl goalies aren't taught. That when I coach younger goalies now today, I teach them all the things I wish I would have been taught because it definitely upped my game. And I'm always relaxed in the cage, you know. I'm never too, like, on the edge of my seat, you know. I know the ball's going to come eventually. I know the ball's going to get in the net eventually. My goal is just to stop it as much as I can. So always just chill. I'm never set the entire time the ball's working its way around the 12 meter or whatnot. I'm waiting to the right moment to get set. I'm just more so relaxed, I think, mm-hmm. which definitely serves me well in cage.
Yeah, love it. I 100% agree. I teach guys and girls, goalies, the same. I coach them the same. And obviously the games are very different. Like the way, you know, where girls take the shots and the type of shots they take with the stick different. But yeah, in terms of like the technique and stance and how you attack the shots, I mean, I think that's 100% the same. So that's cool. That's cool to hear you say that. And I do like, you know, every time I see a girl that, like, you know, has a little bit, maybe a little bit of a wider base and steps laterally and does some of the things that you see a lot of the guys do, I'm like, great, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you see any pictures or any film of me playing, my stance is super, super wide. I'm super, super wide. I actually started doing that once I saw Syracuse goalie nail Delaney Schweitzer doing it for a while. I played with her for a long time. I saw her stance was really wide, and I was like, I wonder why she did it. And then I tried it, and that was my biggest change from going from Stony Brook to Lehigh, was widening my stance. As soon as I made it wider, it made getting the low shot so much quicker, you know. And your body's already set to spring up because your knees are bent because you're because mm-hmm. you're so wide that high shots are just like a gimme, and then low shots you're closer because you're lower to the ground with the wider stance. And I think wide stances, I think are they can change the way you play so much. And I think I love it now that I play with a wider stance.
Yeah. And I recommend all goalies at least give it a try. Like in the off season, you know, this will probably come out over the summer. Perfect time to give it a try. And if you don't like it, if you don't feel as athletic, great. Like switch back, right? It's not for everybody. But if you do like it, it could be a game changer like it was for you.
Yeah.
And how tall are you?
I am 5'7".
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, and you don't like usually associate those wide bases with the taller goalie. I'm 5'8", so like I'm not that much taller. And I was just outside of shoulder width. Like to me, that felt, you know, as wide as I could go with still being athletic. But it just goes to show you don't have to be 6 foot to give that a try.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely helps me on low shots a ton. You know, just I feel like I'm lower to the ground and I'm quicker. And that was my coming out before I transferred, my biggest pet peeve was that I did not think I performed that well in low shots. Then I changed the way I stood and I changed the way I played them. And then I'm so much better at low shots now.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. What does your training regimen look like? I guess maybe, you know, when you're in season and now we're, you know, we're heading into the off season, a lot of shots. Are there like hand eye drills you like to do? What do you do to get better, Haley?
So I used to do like a lot of walking the line, and then I realized like this isn't really doing much for me. So I actually have it's funny, my immediate friend group, like my closest friends, all play D1 lacrosse. So, and they're all midfielders and or attackers. So it's perfect. It's like the perfect little friend group for summer sessions. So in the summer, I get a lot of shots from them, and we always work, and I show them drills that I've seen in practice and stuff that they could do to better their shots, and then I'm getting better shots from them, and then it's helping me work on my hand eye. I do a lot of juggling just for fun. I find it fun, and then it also helps hand eye. But in season, it's pretty much, you know, practice, lift, and then we work with the goalie coach on Wednesdays. We take the men's goalie coach, actually, Alex. He plays in the PLO. And he helps us out on Wednesdays, just like critiquing certain things. And I'm just always trying to make sure I don't forget little things that I've picked up by just keep implementing them within like my normal routine pretty much.
I love that. Alex Reddy's awesome. I've had him on the podcast. He's presented at my goalie summits a bunch of times. He's great. He's great. So you get to work with him on Wednesdays. What, tell me more about working with Alex. Like, what kind of stuff do you guys do?
So he'll come in and he'll ask us, you know, like, hey, this week, what are some shots you saw that you felt uncomfortable or hey, like this week, what did you pick up on that you realized you were doing either not like incorrectly, or you just felt like you were lacking in some manner. And then he'll give us different strategies, you know, to help fix that. The way I played low balls, you know, I used to cover, and then a couple of the other goalies on our team did that as well, still to this year. And Alex told us, hey, like, scoop the ball up. You're going to be so much quicker. Scoop the ball up. Play off the bounce. And then everybody started doing it, and it was, like, crazy. You know, just, like, this small little trick just helped everybody's game. So he's so helpful. He's always giving us, like, individual things to work on that definitely improve our game.
That's really cool. Yeah. It's like, well, what do you want to work on? Like, what do you want to get better on? Because you probably know your game better than anyone else. I think a lot of coaches come in and try and just be like, all right, here's what we're going to do. And that could work for the youth, the real young guys and girls, because they probably don't know what they need to get better on. But, you know, once you get to a certain age, you, like I said, you know your game better than anyone else.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's funny you mentioned that. So he presented that exact topic, his technique of low saves at the Goalie Summit 6. I'll do a little teaser for that. It was a fantastic session. It's really awesome. So
yeah. No, he told us all about it this year, and I was like, wow, like that's crazy. It definitely
helped
tremendously.
Did he show you the little like chart thing with like the lines going like on your stance and like when you finish your save and where the lines need to be?
No.
All right. You got to ask him about that.
He's hiding something.
He's holding out on you, Haley. He's holding out. That's cool. Well, awesome. So, All-American year, honorable mention, All-American. Congratulations on that. Just as a sophomore. So you got at least two more years. Yeah. Was it something special this year, or just things started to click, or what was it that you think contributed to such a great year?
I was given tremendous opportunities by Jill Redfern, and, you know, she trusted me to go out there and do right by her squad. And that was what was on the table. You know, everything was on the table for me. It was either perform well and, you know, see the field for the next 2 years or never play. And at that point, you know, I wanted to play. Last year at Stony Brook, I was behind their starter. And, you know, I felt like I had it in me to be a starting goalie on a D1 program. I went from being heavily recruited in ninth grade by a bunch of schools to not sitting in the bench last year, but not playing as much as I would have wished. You know, I played over 300 minutes, but it wasn't, you know, I wasn't starting, and that's what I wanted. You know, I wanted to start. And so, you know, when I went to Lehigh, it was just like, it's now or never, essentially. Like, you have to, there's three other goalies on this team, and you're coming in middle of the year. You have to prove yourself to get a starting spot. You know, I wasn't there with Lehigh in the fall. They didn't know how I operated. So it was essentially like it was now or never. And I'm a big advocate for putting your 100% best foot forward and trying as hard as you can. And no matter where you end up, it's where you're supposed to be. And I think that was it. This year, everything just came together. You know, my defense liked the way I played. I liked the way they played. We all clicked, and they gave me a bunch of shots that I was able to see. And I just, it was this year, I felt really strong in my play, and it panned out for me.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. All-American is prestigious, you know, and second in save percentage as well. Where do you go from here? What are you looking to get better at?
You know, I don't want to be one of those goalies that, you know, peaks in my sophomore year and then you don't hear about me for the next 2 years. You know, I want to be first team All-American. You know, I don't want to be honorable mention. I want to be on one of the teams. I want to win Patriot League Goalie of the Year. You know, I want these these accolades, but I don't just want these accolades. I want to improve my save percentage. I want to be a goalie with a save percentage over 60%. You know, that's hard. You know, that's hard to do. Playing what, 20 games a season or so, and to perform at that stature every game, it's highly unlikely. But if you shoot, for the highest thing possible, you're gonna land somewhere close to that. So no matter where I end up, you know, I'm just hoping for all good things. I wanna be better every year. I don't wanna settle for what I've already achieved. I wanna keep going forward. And so the next goal is hopefully, instead of honorable mention, maybe make a team or end with a better save percentage at the end of next season would be even cooler.
I love that. And do you take a couple of weeks off and then get back to it, or what's kind of your summer training program going to look like?
So right after our last game, I take about 2 weeks off, just, you know, doing my own thing, you know, eating what I want, doing what I want, you know, staying up super late, watching all the movies I want to watch, you know, doing all that. And then I actually start working. And then when I start working, I start a strict schedule where, you know, I work out before work, and then, you know, at least once a week, I try and see the cage at least once a week, hopefully a lot more than that throughout the week. But I try to set up times with my friends that we can at least get some shots off. You know, you can't stay in in one motion throughout the whole summer. You'll just be where you were last year. And I don't want to be where I was. I want to be better. So, I start work Monday, so that means that the training starts on Monday, and then everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be good from there, you know, just going about it, having fun and playing lacrosse.
There you go. That's awesome. What are you going to do for work?
So I'm actually a bartender. Pretty fun. I started it when I was 18, and a lot of fun. You know, I like to talk to people, and it's the best place to do it.
There you go. Awesome. Yeah. Well, there is something to be said about, you know, getting some structure and routine in your day. And I think that a lot more kids out there could use that, you know, especially if you've got the demands of lacrosse and school. And a lot of people say, like, well, how do I juggle both of these? It's a lot. Or lacrosse and work, right? It's a lot. And, you know, really planning it out, like, hey, I'm going to work out before work, or I'm going to do my homework in this little time block, I think can help a lot of kids with time management. It sounds like that's your strategy as well.
Yeah, definitely my strategy.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Haley, now that you're a little bit older, what goalie advice would you go back and give your younger self?
I would say 100% off the bat, stop trying to please your goalie coach or your coach. It might sound like a little, you know, like daredevil kid or whatnot, but it's not. You know, when I coach younger goalies now, I always start off the lesson and I say, hey, no matter what I tell you or what I say for you to do, I never want to change the way you play lacrosse. You know, I never want to change a specific thing about you because it's true to how you play lacrosse. I think that youth goalies and everything are always trying to, you know, do exactly what their coach tells them because they think it's going to make them 100% better. But sometimes, honestly, the way you play is better than what someone else would tell you to do, because you'll perform better with your feet 2 inches closer than you will 2 inches further that they tell you to do or whatnot. And I think that that's a huge thing. When I went from middle school playing to high school playing, I realized that everything that the coach, I'm not trying to say like, oh, the young kids like be rebellious, but I'm trying to say, know the difference between like being helped, and know the difference between someone trying to change you as a goalie, because every goalie is different in their own dynamic and in their own way. So I think that that's important to have individuality in your style of play.
Yeah, 100%. It actually reminds me of something that Alex Reddy said, and he was like, yeah, at Lehigh, like I want my goalies to be very open and honest with me. Like if they don't understand something that like I'm telling them to do, or they don't get it, right? I don't just want them to do it because I said that they should. I want you to understand it. And if it's not like something you understand, let's have a conversation, right? Like if I tell you as a goalie coach to play with a little bit of a wider base, or that might be a bad example, but let's just use it. And you don't really understand why, right? And you just do it. That's not going to be as good. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, I'm not as good like that. You know, you're kind of doubting that technique. You're not going to be you're not going to be playing as well. So you got to be 100% confident in what you're doing and understand what you're doing, I think.
Yeah, and I think that open communication with whomever is coaching you is 100% important, because if you are faltering from their plan because you think they're wrong about it, but they never know how you feel about it, it's a recipe for disaster. So I think that open line of communication is very important between player and coach.
Yeah. Now, growing up, did you ever have that situation where like you had a coach and they wanted you to play a certain way and you were like pretty set in the other way? Did that ever happen?
Not a lot growing up, because when I grew up, it's kind of the way I played growing up was it helped me play the way I play to this day. But later on in my career, I've come into different coaches telling me different things where I'm necessarily like, I don't necessarily agree, but I'm big on if I don't understand or 100% agree with what you're saying, that I'll make it a point to, you know, have that conversation, because you may see something that I don't see, or I may feel something that you don't feel because you're not me. So that's definitely important. But I didn't have that much growing up, because it was more so I made saves when I was in seventh grade because I played the way I played, because I didn't know anything about lacrosse. So they didn't really want to change me.
Yeah. Makes sense. Any unconventional things you do that, you mentioned juggling. I played a lot of ping pong. I felt like ping pong really helped my game. I don't know. Anything else like that come to mind for you that makes you a better goalie?
Makes me a better goalie. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
No worries.
I don't really think of anything.
All right. I love it. You got the 213 on your throat guard tape there. Is that an area code?
Yeah, it's 215. It might have
been 215.
215, Philadelphia area code. Yeah.
Okay.
Always. I started it when I went to school in Long Island. You know, everybody's from Long Island. I'm from Philly. I wanted to broadcast that difference. And then even so, at Lehigh, not a lot of people are from Philadelphia. So.
Yeah. It is 215. It kind of got cut off in the picture I was looking at. So yeah, 215. Well, Haley, tons of fun. I want to talk about the mental game. We touched on it a little bit, but are there specific, you know, I talk about the mental game and kind of remaining mentally tough. What comes to mind for you? And are there specific lessons or stories that you have that have really taught you how to be, you know, mentally tough?
Yeah, my mental toughness started in high school. It started with Coach Colleen McGarity, the one and only. She taught me all about being mentally tough. You know, we read books about it in high school. We had conversations about it. It was one of her backbones of being on our team was having mental toughness. And I'll tell everybody the story as long as I can. But one game in high school, I was just not being a good player. You know, I was playing okay, but every time a ball went in the goal, I thought it was the defense's fault, and I was getting mad and I was yelling and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is the epitome of disaster. And so she actually took me out of the game. She said that I can't expect something out of a group of people when you're constantly diminishing their efforts. And so it like stuck with me like to this day, because she basically instilled in me, like, you need to be mentally tough, because the people who play for you are not going to play for you if you are not playing for them necessarily. So until I apologized to the defense and got myself back together, I wasn't allowed to go back into the game during that game. So that definitely started me realizing that, like, I can't let the little things get to me when I'm in goal. You know, the ball's going to go in the goal. That's the whole point of lacrosse, is to score goals. And so the ball's going to go in the goal at some point, and just being able to shake it off. And, you know, the ball may go in the goal five times, but if you save 10 more of their shots, you know, you're still over 50%. So being able to, you know, just bounce back and know that even though the ball may go in the cage, as long as you keep making saves every so often, you're going to be fine. Everything's going to work out.
Yeah. I love that. It's kind of a mental lesson I teach goalies all the time. It's like, it may not be your fault, right, that you gave up a goal, like, but it is your responsibility. Right. And so don't blame others. And that's the worst attitude to have. Right. It's like, let's figure it out. Let's remain positive. We can get this. We're going to get the next one. Maybe there's a tactical move that, you know, we can tell the girls or guys. Maybe it's just a rah-rah speech when you come in after the goal. Depends, but definitely remain positive. So I like
that. Especially when you see like those defenders, you know, get on themselves for doing something that they shouldn't have done necessarily, just going into the huddle after the goal scored and be like, oh, that's my fault. Like as a goalie, you should be able to do that and bounce back from it, where like you're that mental toughness in goalie is a necessity.
Yeah. 100% agree. 100% agree. Would you call yourself a leader of the Lehigh team?
I definitely would, you know, especially on the defensive end. You know, I'm always, if you're in the stands, you can hear me, you know, I'm talking to my defense. I'm constantly telling them, hey, I'm always calling people's names, you know, hey, watch out for this slide. Hey, watch out this cutter. Hey, watch your back door. Or I'm always talking to my defense. So on the defensive end, 100%, you know, and then we go into huddles and I'm screaming like, let's go. Like, we got this, like everybody like calm down, like we're fine. So I definitely would say like vocally, I'm definitely a vocal leader. And I love that. I just love being able to like hype up the girls, and you know, we all get so excited to play for one another.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was watching a tape of you, and it was like it was some game tape mixed with an interview. And whenever they cut to the game tape, I had to like pull my headphones out because it was like so loud. It was like so much louder than the interview. So that's awesome. That's awesome that you're so loud out there. Is that something you developed? You've always had a loud voice like that.
I've always just been like, say whatever you can say as loud as you can say. I mean, don't scream because no one can hear that. But just, you know, what you have to say is necessary for other people to hear. So just be as loud as you can. And then,
yeah. You know. Awesome. Well, Haley, thank you so much for coming on, kind of sharing your story. This was tons of fun. If you had to leave the goalies out there with one last piece of advice, what would that be?
I think stay true to the way you play. You know, everyone's different and it makes you cool and it makes you a better lacrosse player.
All right. Very well said. Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. That was Lehigh goalie Haley Hunt. Awesome young lady. Great story. And interesting to see how she has progressed in her lacrosse goalie career. She's got a few more seasons at least, or at least one more season. I know she just finished her sophomore season, so a couple more. I'm not sure about the number of years of eligibility she has, but we will be seeing Haley for at least a couple more seasons. We'll be awesome to watch her probably for another couple All-American seasons. Thank you to Haley for coming on the show. Thank you to you for listening this far. As I mentioned at the beginning, you can still grab the Lacrosse Goalie Summit replays at laxgoalierat.com/VIP. That was 20 coaching sessions. It's unbelievable stuff. If you're looking for video training, video coaching from the best college or the best goalie coaches out there, look no further. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. Amazing sessions for those that have already purchased the VIP pass and started to go through it. They have sent me exactly what I just told you. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing coaching. Your youth goalie is going to love that. I guarantee it. Literally, there's a 15-day no hassle money back guarantee on that VIP pass. So check it out. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. That'll do it this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.